WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former President Trump facing concerning allegations made by a former top aide.
Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly tells the New York Times that his former boss, Donald Trump, repeatedly praised Adolf Hitler when in office.
He commented more than once that, you know, Hitler did some good things too.
Kelly also says that he thinks Trump would rule as a dictator if he could.
So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure.
Trump campaign spokesperson Stephen Chung calls those stories fabricated. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
The government on Tuesday reported a drop of 300,000 in the just-concluded fiscal year in southern border contacts with migrants. In 10 states, from Wisconsin to Missouri to Oregon, the quarter pounder is no longer on the menu at McDonald's. The company pulled it in the face of an outbreak of E. coli that sickened 49 people. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News. A $10 million bond to win freedom for Michael Jeffries, former chief executive Clothier, Abercrombie & Fitch, indicted along with two others by a federal grand jury on charges of running an international prostitution and sex trafficking operation. Authorities say male models were forced into participating in lewd act. Breon Peace is U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York.
Pressured the men to consume alcohol, Viagra, and muscle relaxants known as poppers, and they required the presence of staff during the sexual activity and ensured that the men did not leave the sex events.
Telling the young men their careers were at stake. The Food and Drug Administration and Customs and Border Protection announced they recently seized roughly 3 million illegal e-cigarette products nationwide. The shipments all originating in China, estimated retail value $76 million. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Barack Obama was in Wisconsin Tuesday. He was at a rally at Madison's Alliant Energy Center with Governor Tim Walz. The goal was to rally voters on the first day of early voting.
It is not just policies that are on the ballot. It is who we are and what we stand for.
There were so many people who attended that rally at the Alliant Energy Center that there were major traffic backups, even causing some school buses to be delayed. We have new data on gun violence here in Wisconsin. Here's Terry Bell.
A new study finds 830 people in Wisconsin were killed by guns in 2022. That includes homicides and suicides. That's more people than died in car crashes. The numbers come from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Education Fund. More than three-fourths of people shot to death in Wisconsin were Black.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
Romeo Doubs leads the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers are back at practice getting ready to face the Jaguars. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs led the team with 8 receptions against the Texans, including 2 on that game-winning drive.
The clock wasn't at 0, and I mean, it was key plays to the drive. I had some catches. Tucker had one coming just right beside the ticks. Wicks being Wicks, making the first guy miss, getting extra yards. So it was definitely a team game. game.
The NBA season opener tonight for the Bucks as they play the 76ers in Philadelphia. Doc Rivers asked, when did they know that Chris Middleton would likely miss tonight's game?
This week it became more expected. I thought before this week there was a pretty good chance he may make it. Because he's moving great, but we just haven't had enough live activity for him.
The 76ers will be without Joel Embiid and Paul George. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight as a northwest wind develops, and look for gusts up around 30 miles per hour. Daybreak temperatures in the middle 40s. Sunshine and breezy northwest winds on Wednesday. Highs will top out in the middle 50s. Currently 59 degrees.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Civic Media's Todd Alba, who will get a Nightlight birthday surprise. And you won't want to miss up-and-coming musician DeAndre Marie, who performs in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park. That's what it's called, Radio Park here
Take
in the scene.
Two.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air, broadcasting from Radio Park.
Nice.
In Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Coming up at 10:33, there was an article that kind of popped up in the Wisconsin Independent about some farmers from western part of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Who traveled to Washington, D.C. to talk about the farm bill and getting things done for Wisconsin farmers. And their meeting with Derek Van Orden reportedly didn't go very well.
It did not.
So we're going to talk to one of the farmers who was there, talk about his exchange with Derek Van Orden, what his response was to effect. You know, these are his constituents.
Yes, and these are the people. He sits on the Ag Committee.
Seems important.
So his focus should be on his district, of course, but also on the farmers of Wisconsin. And we'll talk about what happened.
Yeah, we'll talk about that meeting. Kristen Alfheim, who is running for the state senate in the 18th district.
Correct.
Is going to join us at 11:06. Our very own Civic Media executive producer, Jamie Martinson, will be here at 11:33. We have this great election special that is going to air tonight. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions about voting, early voting, absentee voting, all of those things, Jamie is going to be able to explain. They have a great panel of guests. And so they're going to be able to break that all down for you. I highly encourage you to check it out tonight starting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing speakers on that show.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. So join us for that. And then we will, of course, wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. This thing was found by Greg.
Yes, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Funeral edition.
Funeral edition. Excellent. If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Don't forget to in-person absentee voting starts today.
Correct.
Across Wisconsin. And if you want to find out more about where you can go to vote early in person, go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is plug in your address. Everything is right there. It will tell you everything you need. It's really a great resource.
It's a wonderful resource. It's very simple. You cannot request an absentee ballot anymore.
That time has passed.
That time has passed. You can now vote early, though. And we had a question on the text yesterday about the verbiage of it. So absentee voting, as far as mail-in voting, that's when you get your absentee ballot sent to you, mailed to you, you fill it out, you get your witness, you put it in the envelope, you send it off to your clerk's office. They will open it on the day of the election and register it as a regular vote, but you did it early.
Right.
Absentee in person is when you go to your clerk's office or wherever you're designated, whether it's City Hall, clerk's office, you will go to that specific place. You can find out by going to myvote.wi.gov. It will tell you where you can go and that you will vote in person early, and those votes will also be put into an envelope, witnessed, put away for a while, and then on election day, it will be opened up and counted as it would with all the other ballots. And then finally, the regular one is, or the normal one.
Is voting in person on the day.
I shouldn't say normal. The traditional
way.
Is voting in person on the day on November 5th, on that Tuesday, at your polling place.
Whichever way you vote.
Yes.
Please vote.
Yes.
Go vote. And if you have someone in your family or if you have friends who are just like, yeah, my vote doesn't matter. Yes, your vote absolutely matters.
Yes.
It really does, especially in a swing state like Wisconsin, where the margins are so small.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking 15,000 to 20,000 votes. That is not many.
No.
That could be a handful of votes from every county in the state.
And that's how Wisconsin usually is. It's usually a couple of votes per county.
It's not overwhelming.
Nobody wins by landslide since like Reagan. And it's been neck and neck, razor thin. Your vote matters. Get out and vote. Make a plan.
Make a plan.
Take friends.
Yep. Make it a thing.
Go get some brunch.
Yeah. Go vote. Go get brunch. Go do a spa thing. Go get pedicures. Whatever makes you happy.
Treat yourself.
But go vote. It is absolutely critical that we all get out and vote. And also, please don't be surprised if the results are not determined by midnight on November 5th.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case in Wisconsin because our state Senate, for whatever reason, elected not to allow early count to start.
Correct.
There was a bipartisan measure in the assembly to allow counting to begin early.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the Senate where it died.
Yeah. It wasn't even brought to the Senate.
Yeah. It never even came up. So if you are wondering why we don't have the results in Wisconsin by midnight on November 5th, talk to, I don't know, Devin Lemieux.
Yeah. We'll get that number for you.
Sure.
It's easy.
But just don't be, there's no ballot dumps in the middle of the night.
No. And just be patient. This is going to be, last year we found out the Saturday after Election Day. It's most likely going to be longer than that, unless there's some extraordinary, like...
Well, if they're hand-counting all the ballots in Georgia...
They will not be.
Oh, that's right.
The court said no to that, which is surprising.
Yeah, it really is. But anyway, early voting is underway in Wisconsin. Get out. Get involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Be a voter.
Be cool.
Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Hey, Jane, are you a voter?
Darn right I'm a voter. This was kind of a big thing last night in Brookfield at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center. Charlie Sykes, of course, for decades, a longtime conservative broadcaster in Wisconsin, very, very influential.
Yeah,
I think we can thank Charlie for Scott Walker and Ron Johnson and Rebecca Clayfish. And there's a bunch of, I think Sean Duffy.
Honestly,
but he said he's changed. He has drastically changed. And now he's a commenter on MSNBC. He was, of course, one of the founders of The Bulwark.
Yeah.
But he was the moderator last night for Vice President Kamala Harris and former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just think about that. Now, we'll let Charlie explain it. Calvin, play clip number one, please, from last night.
Welcome to this production of The Odd Couple. Okay, and it really is odd. I never thought that I would be here. You never thought that I would be here. But that's because this is not a normal election. This is not an election between Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. So that's why we're doing this, dogs and cats together in this strange moment. It's why we're having this conversation here in Brookfield, Wisconsin, crucial Waukesha County. But we're not going to be talking about a few things. We're not going to be talking about sharks and electrocutions.
We are not
going to be going through Tony Evers' 40-minute playlist and swaying to the music. We're not going to be talking about Jewish space lasers or Arnold Palmer's putting game.
There it is.
Nice.
That's the other event down the road.
I mean,
Charlie Sykes last night doing the intro,
doing a hot five,
doing some stand up. Yeah, that was actually pretty amusing. Introducing Vice President Kamala Harris and former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. They talked about a lot of things, including Social Security.
Yes.
And there is a new report that you can find in Bloomberg that looks at the two proposals, the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign proposals on handling Social Security. And the outlook for what would happen to the program under Donald Trump is essentially in 6 years, it will be insolvent. So, Calvin, let's play that clip number two, please, from Vice President Kamala Harris.
What I and you and I think most of us know is that we have many, many seniors in our country. Their Social Security check is their only form of income. It's everything and the only thing they have to live on, to pay rent, groceries, all of that. And so we must protect Social Security. If you look at Donald Trump's Project 2025, the plan that they have if he is elected or reelected president, it would attack Social Security, it would attack Medicare. And back to the point about just what is in the interest of dignity. The president of the United States should have as one of their highest concerns the dignity of the American people. And in particular, those who have lived a productive life, who deserve to be able to retire and go into their senior years with the dignity of not worrying about whether they're going to have a roof over their head or be able to eat.
Kamala Harris last night talking about Social Security and the importance of Social Security. Something else, Greg, that we have not gotten around to in depth at all, or even if we just glanced on it, is Kamala Harris has talked about changing things so there can be more in-home care.
Yes.
Which would be game-changing, I think, for mm-hmm. so many people.
Yes, she has put forth plans to make it easier for people to give care at home, get paid, more pay. It's some people, that's their full-time job, is taking care of a loved one.
Absolutely.
And there are now mechanisms to get paid, and it's about now making it actually sustainable as a life so you are not living paycheck to paycheck.
And I think, too, I'm assuming it would allow caregivers carry such a burden.
Yeah.
They really do. So this would allow them to maybe take a little break from their caregiving.
Yeah.
Because that's a full-time job.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely a full-time job. We have several more clips we want to play from last night from Vice President Kamala Harris and former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. They appeared last night in Brookfield. It was kind of a barnstorming of the two ladies. Mm-hmm. Hit several states yesterday,
yeah.
All battleground states. So we're going to continue this conversation again. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Have you heard? Compass is coming to Madison. What's that? Only the number one real estate brokerage in the country with cutting-edge marketing and global reach. Only one thing can make it better. The Aaron Weber Group. Well, it just got better. Still the same Aaron Weber Group, the guys you already know and trust, only now, True North partners with Compass. With the Aaron Weber Group, you always had a guide. Now with Compass, you'll never miss a turn. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, at movetomadison.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today's tip is skip the extended warranties. Now, I've fallen for this one myself, but after a lot of research, I've figured out that there's a reason the Best Buys and the Apples of the world are so hot to sell these warranties. And it's not because they're going to save you money. These things, whether they're called an extended warranty or a service contract or a protection plan, they are often loaded up with fees and rules, and you will rarely actually need to use them. What I do instead, I have my own warranty fund. Every time I'm tempted by an extended warranty, I put the money I would spend on that into a savings account. I mean, you'd be surprised how fast all that adds up. And now I have money I can use to fix or replace any of my stuff if it does break, with no hidden fees or rules. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. After the 10:30 news, we're going to talk to a farmer in western Wisconsin who traveled to Washington to meet with Derek Van Orden, who is his representative, and apparently things did not go very smoothly. We're going to get more details about that with our chat with Darren Van Orden, Van Ruden, coming up after the 10:30 news about Derek Van Orden.
There it is.
So that's on the way. But we were talking before we went to the break about the joint appearance last night between Vice President Kamala Harris and former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield. Kamala Harris at one point mentioned again how many people in the former Trump administration are not supporting him a second time around. Calvin, play clip number three, please, from Kamala Harris last night.
Take it from the people who know him best. His former chief of staff when he was president, two former defense secretaries, his national security advisor, and of course his vice president, who have all in one way or another used the word that he is unfit to be president again and is dangerous. Listen to the report that what his former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a general, said about him, that he is fascist to the core.
We had retired Major General Cliff Stanley on from National Security Leaders for America yesterday. And he said as well, a good leader isn't afraid to say, I don't know about something.
Yes.
That's why you surround yourself with people of varying opinions, not just people who agree with you all the time. That's not a good way to make decisions.
Well, we also know that Donald Trump isn't equipped to be able to say, I don't know, or I was wrong, or maybe I don't know everything, or can I get some help? It is, I am right. I'm always right.
And he has said that. I am always right.
And if for some reason I'm not right, I'm still right, and it's someone else's fault that you thought I was wrong.
We're to play a clip from Liz Cheney as well from last night. Calvin, play clip number four, please. This is former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
It's not about party. It's about right and wrong. And I certainly have many Republicans who will say to me, I can't be public. They do worry about a whole range of things, including violence, but they'll do the right thing. And I would just remind people, if you're at all concerned, you can vote your conscience and not ever have to say a word to anybody. And there will be millions of Republicans who do that on November 5th, vote for Vice President Harris.
this is something that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, the silent voters.
Yes.
The people who don't put up yard signs and they don't scream from the mountaintops and they don't post on Facebook and they don't, they just keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of folks like that.
And we've said it before on this show, too. You don't have to tell your parents, your teachers,
your spouse,
your boss, your anybody, your best friend. You don't even have to tell them who you're voting for. And your vote's private. You vote for who you want, and then you go home, and that's it. And you can leave it as private as you want it to be. Don't worry about that.
Well, and again, it is registered that you voted.
Yes.
But not for whom you cast your ballot.
Correct.
And we have, of course, Greg.
Yeah.
That ad.
Which one?
The latest political ad from a completely real and totally legitimate super PAC.
I heard it was totally legitimate.
It's totally, completely, absolutely, authentically real.
And super legit. And super real.
Yeah, and super real. So, Calvin, let's play that ad, please, from this new super PAC.
And now a message from a Wisconsin voter.
Yeah, hi, this is Betty from Rhinelander. I've been voting for the same party all my life. It's been okay, I guess. Now, my parents taught me to be patient. All things come to those who wait. But for too long now, it seems like some politicians in Wisconsin think their job is to make sure nothing gets done. What the heck is that all about? Take us back to the good old days. You mean back to polio and outhouses? There was nothing good about that, I can tell you. Oh yeah, they talk a good game at election time, but when it comes to helping folks with poisoned water, closing hospitals and childcare, where are they when it comes to actually fixing it? They gavel in and gavel out and go on vacation. It makes me so gosh darn mad. So November 5th, I'm voting a different way. I'm just not going to tell my husband, or my sister, or my garden club, or my Facebook friends, or say anything on the Substack I have about extreme knitting. But I might tell my granddaughters.
Paid for by the Let's Knit Crazy Super PAC.
I'm Betty, and I approve this message. Let's just keep it between us.
You can be just like Betty.
Be like Betty.
You don't have to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that reinforces also, it's not just the two people at the top of the ticket. All the other down ballot races are very, very important, especially here in Wisconsin, when we would like to see some things actually get done. Like money that has already been approved to address PFAS, like money that has already been approved to usher in a new literacy program. That's money, they're all still sitting on it.
Hospital money.
Hospital money for Western Wisconsin. I mean, so it's not just the presidential race. It's not just the Senate race, which is also critical.
Yes.
If the Democrats are going to hold the Senate. But all of the down ballot races, just think about who actually does things to benefit the people that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
And if your representative has been there for a long time and just doesn't seem to get very much done, it might be time to make a change.
And they seem proud of it, too.
They do seem somewhat proud of it. I believe Senator Ron Johnson has even said it would be better if they just never passed another piece of legislation.
If your assembly member, your assembly rep is a Republican who's on the Joint Finance Committee, look them up. Just see what Wisconsin is not benefiting from because of that.
And always, you can contact them.
Yes, you can.
You can call them. Just be polite.
Be very polite.
Be very polite. I believe that from the, I really do want you to be polite. So, yeah, maybe just give him a call.
Give him a call.
Say hi.
Tell him Betty sent you.
Tell him Betty sent you. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. Coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Former President Trump facing concerning allegations made by a former top aide.
Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly tells the New York Times that his former boss, Donald Trump, repeatedly praised Adolf Hitler when in office.
He commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things too.
Kelly also says that he thinks Trump would rule as a dictator if he could.
So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure.
Trump campaign spokesperson Stephen Chung calls those stories fabricated. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
The government on Tuesday reported a drop of 300,000 in the just-concluded fiscal year in southern border contacts with migrants. In 10 states, from Wisconsin to Missouri to Oregon, the quarter pounder is no longer on the menu at McDonald's. The company pulled it in the face of an outbreak of E. coli that sickened 49 people. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Early voting is now open across Wisconsin. Each municipality sets its own early voting locations and hours. When you show up to vote early, it should work very similarly to Election Day. You show some ID, poll workers will help you identify a precinct and give you your absentee ballot. That ballot will be sealed, you'll sign the envelope, and it'll go back to your local clerk's office where it'll be locked away until Election Day. To find your local early voting information, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Early voting was the focus of a big rally supporting the Harris-Walz ticket in Madison Tuesday. Governor Tim Walz.
This election is 2 weeks from today, and early voting has started here in Wisconsin. Our team is running like everything is on the line, because everything is on the line.
Former President Barack Obama also spoke. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. For every episode of the DC show The Penguin on Max, Colin Farrell goes through hours of makeup prep. According to recent numbers, it's paying off, as Variety reports that the fifth episode of season one of The Penguin pulled in 1.8 million viewers. The show has added viewers with every new episode that drops. New shows of The Penguin premiere every Sunday night on Max at 10 p.m. Central. Do you have great acting chops? Smoke weed? Can you rap? If so, update your resume, because Snoop Dogg is looking for someone to portray himself in a new biopic. The movie was first announced in 2022, and now the search is on as they are in the casting phase and seeking someone to play a younger version of Snoop. Between his role on The Voice, opening weed stores in L.A., and popping up at the Olympics and on NFL games, the Dogfather told Entertainment Tonight whoever plays young Snoop will have to be a phenomenal actor. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Stars, a few clouds around in the overnight as a northwest wind develops, and look for gusts up around 30 miles per hour. Daybreak temperatures in the middle 40s. Sunshine and breezy northwest winds on Wednesday. Highs will top out in the middle 50s. Currently 59 degrees.
Coming soon to the Overture Center, Late Night Catechism.
Some rulers lead by example. Others lead with a ruler.
I am a Roman general. All right, all you village people, sit up in your seat, will you please?
Late Night Catechism.
Are you putting on lipstick in my class?
Attendance is mandatory.
I'm wearing 30 pounds of gabardine here, huh?
Come for the laughs.
Don't miss Late Night Catechism at the Overture Center.
Get your tickets today at tickets.overture.org.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project stop by. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Give us a call at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Kristen Alfheim will be joining us. She is running in the Senate District 18. We will be talking to her, hear about what she's hearing about when she's knocking on doors. That comes up after 11 o'clock. Right now, though, so glad he is back on the show. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Van Ruden. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
So glad to have you back. We have talked about the farm bill for several months now because it continues to sit there and nothing gets done. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Friday night debate between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde. He did have a comment about the farm bill. I'm not sure if you were made aware of this. Calvin, can we play that clip from Eric Hovde, please?
I'm not an expert on the farm bill because I'm not in the U.S. Senate at this point in time, so I can't opine specifically on all aspects of that farm bill.
I don't know. I think it's kind of like studying ahead for a test you might have, but then again, maybe not. So I have a feeling you know what's in the farm bill, Darren, and can opine on it. So please do.
Yes. So thank you. And yeah, certainly it's a long document, so I can certainly understand why somebody might not know every aspect of it, which I'm in that category too. I don't know all of the intricate details, but certainly looking at 3 to 4 of the titles and having vested interest in those, it's something we need to talk to. Currently, we do not have a farm bill. The farm bill expired on September 30th of 2024 here, and it's up to the U.S. House and Congress and the Senate and then ultimately the president to get a farm bill back in place. So we're hopefully lame duck session, something will happen, but it's hard to say. But just looking at a few of the different titles, certainly the conservation title, it means a lot to farmers throughout the state of Wisconsin. There's programs in there that a lot of farmers have benefits from, and would like to see that title continued where it's at in its current funding forms. There's some threat from the House side to remove some of those fundings and put it into the insurance side of the farm bill, which is a little scary. Because conservation is, I think, a little bit more important to our farmers than the insurance, although insurance on a regular basis now seems to be a bigger talking point. Then looking at the nutrition title, certainly there's differences between the House and Senate versions right now. The Senate has told the House already that if that's what comes to them, there won't be any discussions at all, because there's some limits and probably some cuts going on there. So, you know, how can we have a negotiation between the House and Senate if neither side wants to give, which is something that's not normal. In years past, the Farm Bill has always been seen as a bipartisan bill. That's one of the easier ones to get through. And so with some of the my party first mentality that we're seeing, you know, and on both sides there too, that they certainly need to be looking more at what's going to be better for the country than trying to make sure that the parties are taken care of.
Well, that's what compromise is, and that's why it's called reaching a compromise, because neither side gets all of the goodies that they want. You have to give up a couple of things. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, you know, and certainly as a farmer, we have to compromise on a daily basis with Mother Nature because she always throws us curveballs the way it seems. But you know, the issues that are really becoming the hardcore issues between the two bodies on the House and then the Senate is, you know, they're details that certainly can be worked out. And we need to get to that point. And as farmers, we really need to see this passed before the end of the year here, because you look at 2025 and what that's going to bring. It's not an election year, so nobody's going to want to spend any money at all. And the Farm Bill disaster programs are needed, you know, certainly looking at what's happening with the hurricanes down in the Southeast. But, you know, last year we had a major drought throughout a lot of the upper Midwest here. And we don't get the funding like they do down south a lot of times for disaster programs. But certainly, you know, if there's cuts going somewhere, it's going to be to that disaster funding. And we need to get the bill passed this year while they're still in the mode to, you know, make sure that there's funding available.
That makes me so sad, Darren, that we have to get to this point, right? And the level of frustration among farmers must just be off the charts, seeing this languish and the fact that it just feels like the only reason they might do something about it now is because they need your vote.
Yeah, yeah, you know, which is hard to figure out why they didn't do something before September 30th to make sure that there's a bill out there. But certainly if there's enough opposition in both houses, that's why it didn't happen. And it's because of some of the language and some of the program cuts or maybe additions in some cases, too, that one side doesn't like versus the other side. And so that's why they're continuing the fight and continuing the blame game. It's, you know, the House is blaming the Senate. The Senate's blaming the House. And, you know, we're adults. Let's get out there and do our job and get a farm bill passed.
If you're just joining us, our guest is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is here.
Darren, one of the things, too, I wanted to talk about is that fact that this isn't, you know, this is supposed to be done by the end of September. It was supposed to actually be done last year. And they just sort of put out a thing saying, well, sorry, we're not going to be doing it. We'll see you next year. And then the farmers are sitting there going, but we need this now. And when we talk about this is a topic that we've discussed many times. And when you say something to the effect of like both sides, I feel like it's almost like they either take the farmers for granted with their votes or they say, well, they're going to vote for somebody. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of lobbying they feel like they need to do with you. So it seems like they can say, well, we'll do this later, when they have no idea the detriment it's causing for you. And something we've talked about as well is the conservation effort. If you are someone in Wisconsin, your heart's in conservation. This is a beautiful land and it's important to conserve that, especially for our farmers. And now we are, what, 20 plus days past the deadline? And it's unconscionable and inexcusable. And I get very, very fired up on your behalf because, you know, I am not a farmer. But still, I mean, but you're doing everything you can to try to get it done.
Yeah, certainly. You know, we've spent time in D.C. In the last month and a half here now, 3 days, talking to our legislators, trying to, you know, get our points across and talk about what needs to be done. And, you know, farmers really, you know, in times like we're at right now, where commodity prices are falling with the exception of beef, you know, that uncertainty, what next year could look like is getting more uncertain right now because we don't have that farm bill. And certainly as consumers too, you know, one thing that we're starting to talk a little bit about more is maybe it should be called the food bill instead of the farm bill, because you know, the consumer ultimately pays the price on what happens with the farm bill, either at the grocery store or through their taxes. And, you know, looking forward, if nothing happens before the first part of January on the farm bill, we're going to revert back to the original farm bill language, which would put parity pricing on all commodities. That would be dramatic and almost, you know, unheard of for the consumer, because you're going to look at doubling, if not tripling, of the consumer prices at the grocery store. And that's because of that pricing mechanism that's there that farmers have always given. We're always price takers and we're not price givers. So, you know, in the end, if farm bill or it doesn't get signed or an extension done before the first part of January, we could be looking at some really high prices in the grocery store.
Boy, that's a message that needs to get out there, yeah. Darren. And I think you make a really good point about calling it the food bill, because if you called it the food bill, people might actually sit up and pay attention about it, even if they're not farmers. Because as you said, it is a massive bill and it covers lots of things and there's SNAP involved in there and all of those things. But good heavens, as you just said, if this doesn't get done by the beginning of January and we revert back to this parity pricing, oh boy, people are going to be unhappy.
Yeah, you know, certainly farmers will be the beneficiaries of that because our prices will, you know, automatically go up overnight. But You know, we understand that if the price of the food at the grocery store gets to be too high, we're ultimately the ones that are called to blame for that. But then in the end, you know, we lose those customers too at some point because they simply can't afford to buy.
Yeah, sounds catastrophic. Yeah.
And you also shop at those grocery stores too, so it's not like.
You're right. Ultimately, people will go back to the farmers and yell at you, rich farmers, which is just such a misnomer. Nobody goes into farming because you want to drive a Jaguar. That's not why you go into farming. I'm assuming.
Right. Yes. Well, if you look at a lot of the tractors that are on the countryside, they're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And so, you know, we get by with what we got and try to improve when we can. But, you know, a lot of years there just isn't those dollars left for those improvements.
If you're just joining us, Darren Van Ruden is here from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He's the president, and we're talking about the languishing farm bill that continues to just sit there. We like to encourage people, Darren, to contact their constituents, to express their views.
Contact their elected officials.
Or their officials, yes, I'm sorry, backwards there. to contact their elected officials and tell them their concerns. Have you found that to be effective, I'm wondering?
Well, some years, yes, and other years, no. Certainly election years, we seem to have a lot better discussions and, get our viewpoints across. And then other years, it doesn't necessarily have to be a non-election year, but there's years when just not a whole lot happens in D.C. too.
There was an article. I knew we were going to get to this.
Darren's face. Look at that. If you can watch the live stream right now, you're like, all right, let's. And I feel like we need to tease it right now because it's like.
Ooh. In the Wisconsin Independent, here is the headline. It says, Western Wisconsin farmers say Derek Van Orden behavior derailed meeting on agricultural policy. Darren, what can you tell us about the meeting with Derek Van Orden in Washington?
So, yeah, back in September, National Farmers Union had our yearly fall fly-in that we do around that same time every year. And we always try to get meetings with all of our elected officials. And this year we had a larger group that actually went from Western Wisconsin. There was, I believe, 10 of us that were in the room that day. Certainly, when we first got there, the congressman was on the way out of the door to go help a couple of veterans, which is his heart and soul, which is great because they all need to be protected too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. But then when he came back, his attention focused really on me because of an ad that had been published or it was a YouTube ad that went out, and then a letter to the editor too that had went out back in March or April, and just talking about the ineffectiveness of, you know, not getting the farm bill passed when it should have been last year, like Greg had mentioned earlier. And we're still losing 2 to 3 farms, dairy farms a day here in the state of Wisconsin, and so to call yourself the cheese king of the capital and say that he was the only congressman that's been on the Ag Committee in the past dozen years, which is not true. Reed Ribble actually served up until his retirement from the House in 2015. So let's get the facts straight and see what's going on. But he was not happy with that advertisement and wanted to make that point to me. And really focused about a 10-minute session on trying to call out some of the false statements that he calls in that ad.
Darren, we're going to go to break and we'll be right back and continue this conversation. We're talking to Darren Van Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show.
Thanks for bringing up my surgery again.
Speaking of that, Doug texts in. He says, can you put Gordy's surgery live on the air?
The surgeon told me he does one or two of these surgeries a week. So he's acting like, it's no big deal.
It's like going to the liquor store.
Once or twice a week? Yeah. Okay.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us. US or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio, Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, in-person voting gets underway today. Early absentee in-person voting gets underway today. If you want to go cast your ballot, not sure what might happen November 5th, you decide you want to get it out of the way, find out where to cast your ballot at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Our guest is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He has joined us before. Darren Von Ruden is here. And Darren, I'm going to do a little recap for folks who might just have joined us. But you made an ad earlier in the year talking about the languishing farm bill, which has been sitting there for well over a year, actually, and it was supposed to get passed at the end of last month. And so you and several others went to Washington, D.C., met with Derek Van Orden, and he spent the first 10 minutes of your meeting not happy that you had made that ad.
Yeah, and actually it was the last 10 minutes of the meeting. The first part of it, we were talking with his ag aide while he was out dealing with the veterans issue that he had left the office for.
So he wasn't even there for the beginning of the meeting.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And which, the first half of the meeting was actually going pretty good. We were having a good conversation with his agricultural assistant and seemed to be, able to talk and do things. But certainly when the congressman came in, the attitude of the office changed.
So obviously he's very well aware of that ad, and that did not make him happy. And he remembered it to the point that he felt it necessary to, dress you down?
More or less. I call it a scolding by my representative. he didn't raise his voice or anything, but certainly didn't want to really recognize that there was other people in the room that had their stories to tell, and which is why we hold this event on a yearly basis, is to go out to D.C. to let our members have that conversation with our elected officials about their story and what's happening on their farms and in their communities, and and how we believe that the actions of our elected officials could help to make things better around the countryside.
So Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, who sits on the Farm Committee, wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Yeah, and it's the Agricultural Committee. Agriculture Committee,
yes.
Yeah, just make sure we get that square. So at one point in time, too, one of our members did try to interrupt and be able to tell his story and talk about things. And at that point, too, the congressman more or less said, well, I don't believe those numbers because it come from the Congressional Budgeting Office, CBO is what they call it for short. And that's a nonpartisan part of our government that looks at every spending bill that's out there. If it's going to have an effect on the budget, they release what they feel is going to be the cost of that bill on the budget. And looking at the House version of that, the CBO come to an estimate between $30 and $45 billion over the next 10 years if that farm bill would be implemented. And Dylan was trying to get that point across. And of course, the congressman didn't agree with it because the CBO is only right 15% of the time, which is what he is saying. So, looking at that, what do we do?
The CBO for it, yeah, as you said, a nonpartisan.
It's the Congressional
Budgetary Office, yeah. It is not built with lackeys and neophytes and suck-ups. These are people crunching numbers all day, every day on a myriad topics from farming to construction to, all these things. The fact that Derek Van Orden doesn't want to believe them, and he says because it's a CBO, is ridiculous.
Well, and did he suggest alternate numbers then, Darren?
No, just that the CBO is not correct. And, and with talking with some other folks and other people that are in elected offices too, the CBO is giving you an estimate. So in reality, they should never be right. So if they're right 15% of the time, they're doing something right.
They're not saying like it's going to cost $1 quadrillion.
Well, and there's methodologies to these, and they're I can't imagine what it felt like when you guys left his office. And I know you don't want to speak to the other folks who were with you, but what did you feel, Darren?
Really very frustrated because our members didn't get to tell their stories. And certainly that I heard that loud and clear from our members is, we come out here with the thought process that we're going to be able to carry on a conversation and at least, have a conversation. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, you don't agree, but at least the conversation can happen. And, that really didn't happen once the representative came into the office.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin. One might. Just saying.
When I saw the story, I got like, at first I was like, oh, here we go again. He's yelling at farmers and teenagers. But honestly, the more I've thought about it, Darren, the more frustrated I get for you and your group. And I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing the story and sharing what you need from us.
Darren Von Rudin is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Thank you so very much, Darren. We'd love to have you back on if and when that darn farm bill actually gets passed. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, we'll talk to author Mike McCabe.
And we'll find out if Obama and Tim Walz did a fist bump.
Be with us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.